Hi, my name's Samantha Wilson. I am a student here at College of DuPage, and I am part of the millennial generation, though on the, you know, far spectrum of it. I was born in 88. I'm a non-traditional student here. I have a 3.9 GPA. My 1B I ever got was in Japanese because my grandmother passed away and I couldn't keep up with the language, so. But I, being a non-traditional student and going to this college and being around 18 to 23-year-olds, as I spend a majority of my day, as a student with a 3.9 GPA, going to one of the most prestigious community colleges in Illinois, I am quaking in my boots that I am not going to get admitted to a college in this state. I am quaking in my boots that I am not going, well, not admitted, but I won't be able to afford the tuition to any place I get admitted unless they give me a full ride or a majority scholarship or something like that. I know a majority of the students that I interact with on a daily basis are thinking about going to Colorado or, you know, Tennessee just approved, you know, public tuition for, I believe it's 4 years, it might be 2 years, I can't remember, but, and you had mentioned about the Amtrak thing. My plan is to go down to UIC. If I don't have a working train available to me, I'm not driving down there. That's insane, you know, I rely on that. And I feel like I'm part of one of the last generations that actually has some opportunity in this state. Everyone else that I interact with is thinking about going out of state. They feel like they have no prospects in this state. They feel like we're just being left behind. You know, everyone talks about the millennial generation, but what about the kids after us? You spoke about the resource gap. My mother works as a librarian clerk in an elementary school. There are so many kids. As she's been there, the amount of kids on a free lunch program has increased dramatically. And I grew up in a working class neighborhood. And in Illinois, we're so focused on increasing property taxes, people can't handle that in my neighborhood where I grew up. That just means a bigger resource gap. How is it that we can get our legislators to invest in things that are going to actually grow our state GDP, grow our economy? You know, from the GI Bill, we found studies that for every dollar you invest into education, you get $4 to $7 back in the long run. Increasing capital, why aren't we investing in bullet trains? Why aren't we investing in stuff like this? This is going to increase our capital. Investing in capital is going to grow our economy. What do we do? As my generation and millennial, you know, I want to get involved in public service. I want to become a state legislator. I want to get this state back, you know, but on a track, this should be a wonderful state. We have so much to offer. We have arid land. We have thriving metropolises. We, you know, everything. And it just, I couldn't picture living anywhere else in this country. But if there's no opportunities available to me, where else do I go? You know, so how do we, as my generation, the millennials and younger, how do we get them to start looking at things in a different way? There's things to be done in a different way. I'm so involved in politics. I call everybody every day. I'm on the phone with Raja Krishnamoorthy's office every Tuesday. That's my call. You know, I've called my local legislators, and I'm always talking to somebody's secretary. You know, I don't know if my opinions and things are going through. We always try and show up to events like this where we're clearly the youngest people in the room. What do we do? What do we do to give my generation and the kids after me, what do we do to give them a life experience in Illinois where we don't have to leave?
I would say first off, and then I'll turn to the panel, and I always get this quote wrong because I always feel like a leaving never off. But remember what Winston Churchill said. Never, 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 never give up. I realize that that may seem rather empty, but I think that's what you can do. You can never give up.
Your presentation was outstanding. So do what you're doing. I will just tell you, We'll get you to UIC, and we're working on a lot of stuff, including the new Pink Line station. And there's a lot of, we will get you there. The MAP program, which is the backbone of assistance for students in Illinois. When you, gentleman in the back, when he said, you know, what do you do to get these people to move? The students descended upon the state capitol, and the legislature moved, and they funded the MAP program. So they do hear, as the panelist up here said, they do hear your voice. There's more people working in downtown Chicago with more corporate relocations than anywhere else in America. One of the things we forget about when I mention corporate relocations is Mayor Emanuel always likes to remind people that a third of all the teaching hospitals in the United States of America happen to be in Illinois. We have six of them. Six of them. A third of all the teaching hospitals in America are here. I mean, we hear about the Mayo Clinic, which is wonderful, other places, but a third of the teaching hospitals are here. There's no better place for a young person to be than Chicago. The University of Illinois at Chicago, like my alma mater, WIU, or to some extent COD, is undergoing some, you know, some strains. But I will tell you, the leadership on that campus, and I was just there talking to urban policy students, it's awesome. There are some tremendous things going on at UIC, so I encourage you to go there. Most people don't know that UIC is a top 25 federal research institution. It has as much federal research going on as Michigan State University. It's a great place. So go there, stay there, keep doing what you're doing. I saw a Congressman Krista Raja, as we call it. I sat in his office in Washington last week, and he gets it. We were talking about things. So don't give up. As Mr. O'Keefe said, never, never, ever give up. Illinois is a resilient state. We'll get through this. And when you're done, there'll be employment for you, especially somebody with your kinds of skills and an articulate ability to talk about it.
Oh, gosh, you are incredible. I mean, I was so impressed with that. And you again, you've hit the nail on the head. We've got to start looking at a different way of doing things because the old way isn't working. And it's going to take people like you and the next generation to come that is really going to change things. And that was what I meant when I said that, you know, this infrastructure has gone. But then out of you know, I've always believed, and you can't work in the mental health arena unless you absolutely believe that there's hope. There's always hope in the future. And I think that the fact that this infrastructure is gone, and as it was said, you know, when somebody was asked, well, you know, if they signed it and money came, how, you know, would that make things better? No. But this is our golden opportunity to start afresh and start thinking afresh, because we know that what's gone on, and again, with my population, this has been not working for 40, 50 years. This isn't something new. So therefore, I just feel chills when I hear somebody like you speak so articulately and care about the next generation to come. And it's going to be people like you that are going to think in fresh new ways and are going to change this whole structure. So keep on going, just keep going. We'll talk to me after. We'll do whatever we can.
I would piggyback on what Angela is saying about, you know, we do need to think in new and different ways. I have just started a new book about reinvention, and I apologize, I don't know who actually wrote the book. It was given as a gift to me. And within the first few pages, they are talking about companies and how companies have to reinvent themselves. And if we go back to the 1950s and the 1960s, 90% of the companies that were on the Fortune 500 list are now gone. They've been acquired or they've gone out of business. The only one that's still on there is DuPont. DuPont is the only company that has survived on the Fortune 500 list since the mid-1950s. Companies have to reinvent themselves. Over 60% of all the CEOs in the United States overseeing companies right now feel that their companies have to go through a major change within the next 3 to 5 years or they will be out of business. We need to have those kind of minds thinking about reinvention. How do we change our government? How do we change the perspective of our legislators so that we can reinvent what we're doing here in Illinois and get to a place that is sustainable and worthy of our great state? So absolutely, bring in new ideas and fresh perspective. It has to happen.
Can I give you one more,
sure,
especially for your generation? On my way here today, I was on the phone with the executive director of PACE, which is our suburban bus operation, mm-hmm. talking about how PACE can do some things that Uber does. But as he said, well, Mr. Dillard, Chairman Dillard, we'll do it better than Uber will, with more responsibility to people that have disabilities and other things. Uber just did a public-private partnership with Metra, so that if you take Metra to Naperville and you have a business appointment, you can ride on the train, have your Uber waiting at the Naperville station to take you to one of the I-88 corridor businesses, and you didn't have to drive all the way out and have a rental car or a zip car or whatever from downtown. So in my space, in the RTA space, you know, we are always looking to partner. We do have a formal partnership with Uber, but we're looking to take their technology. It's amazing what we have in my iPhone. I don't have tickets anymore to get my trains. It's all done, through my iPhone. I show the conductor that. I buy my tickets that way, including on the CTA. Doing more with less and being on the cutting edge of technology is something that all of us, whether you're in the mental health arena, mm-hmm. whether you're in the food pantry business, or whether you're in the mass transit business or in higher ed, in this institution here, I've always thought the College of DuPage under, and I've known four of the presidents here, have always been sort of on the cutting edge. And when you said one of the great community colleges, I will tell you from experience that the College of DuPage would be among the top five community colleges in the United States. We have great community colleges. Harper's wonderful, Triton, there's some great ones, but this is one of the top five community colleges in the United States.
I'm from County out here, so I can go to college.
You don't know how lucky you are.
We have a question over here.
Yeah.
In terms of knowing whether our state legislators are working or not, I have no clue who my House representative is, but I definitely know who my state representative is. And he started upsetting me at Christmas when he sent out a card informing me of the 30 food pantries in DuPage County alone. 30. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I talked to somebody from your organization and found out, oh, not a problem. You cover 80 food pantries. Mm-hmm. Okay, beyond DuPage, but still, 30? I thought there were two. DuPage County, as far as I know, is one of the most affluent counties in the country, and yet we have people that fall into that category.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
He has also sent out another postcard that said he was having a town hall meeting, and the subject he was covering was the grand bargain, so anybody could come, and whether or not you have or not. My new federal House representative is Raja Krishnamoorthy, and he had a town hall meeting, and one of the things that he said was somewhat that what you were talking about, that he thought that everybody in Washington would probably be so jaded that calls, emails, or letters would go pfft. But he said, doesn't work that way. when they keep coming in and keep coming in and keep coming in and they're attached people, that it makes a difference, mm-hmm. even on his staff. So, I don't know about you guys, but I have all of those phone numbers and emails right in front of me on my office. And I don't call them every day. That would be kind of a waste of energy. But they do know, mm-hmm. And in terms of, you were talking about transportation. Okay, I was disabled 10 years ago, and I live in Roselle. And I called Metra, and I said, how do I get to Woodfield? Okay, well, you go to the Roselle train station, you take it east to Franklin Park. You get on bus A, Pace bus A to go north, and then Pace bus B to go west. It's 4 miles away from where I live. That's, yes, okay. So you need a lot of things. Now the other thing, down in Union Station, this is the last one, uh-huh. and then I'll let you breathe too. Okay, the last thing, down in Union Station for a while, there was a big easel, a big lit up where the money that Illinois had claimed for rapid transit or really high-speed rail that Wisconsin didn't want, and Governor Quinn went, okay. So those things were up there. Here's the map, here's the this, here's the that, they're gone. What happened to that money?
Well, let's answer your first question first. Metra's probably not the way to get to the mall, but if you call PACE, which is in charge of the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as paratransit. So if you do have someone that is in need of specialized services, including you'll see our small vans will actually come and get you. So PACE is where you need to call.
Yeah, they only take you within the township. They'll take you to a Lexington Brothers Hospital. They'll take you to the donut shop across the street from the Jewel, because the Jewel's in a different county.
That's a good donut
shop. But you can only,
I know that donut
shop. If you're not working and disabled, you can only register for that bus one afternoon a week. And if they're busy,
yeah.
It's improved in 10 years.
I'm sure it has improved, and we're always working to continue to improve it. You know, high-speed rail money, it's there. I watch them work on it when I drive to Springfield. I see them doing it all the time. I wouldn't call it high-speed rail. A better acronym is probably faster rail. But, you know, if you're shaving an hour between Chicago and St. Louis, that to me is progress. And what gets lost on people is people like Brian will say, where are the public-private partnerships? And I always tell them, the greatest public-private partnership I know is Metra. Metra runs on the most complex rail system anywhere in the United States. Every day they take, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to work on lines that are owned and operated by private railroads. Metra doesn't own the railroads. And for high-speed rail, that corridor between Chicago, Springfield, Bloomington, Normal, St. Louis, freight runs on that. And one quarter of all freight runs through Illinois in the United States. And that is, again, a great public-private partnership where Amazon, which is now the big beast that controls everything in this country, killing our local retailers, but Amazon or UPS, if they're moving things by freight, it improves that. So some of that high-speed rail money, while it moves people faster, also helps the private railroads as well. RTA trip planner. So You call the RTA next time if you have those issues, and if they don't give you the answer you want, you say, I want to talk to Chairman Dillard.
Okay? Can I ask for clarification, too? So were you surprised at the number? What's your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
My name's Marilyn.
Marilyn. Were you surprised at the number of food pantries in DuPage County?
Oh, my God, yes. I thought there were about two, and both of them were in Elmhurst, and I was shocked over that.
Oh, we have some wonderful food pantries in Elmhurst.
One of the statistics that I think a lot of people don't realize, and it's part of this discussion of hidden impacts. The fastest growing group of poverty, the fastest growth in poverty, is not in urban centers. The fastest growing poverty is in suburban areas. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yes, we have 30 food pantries. Yeah. And
15 years ago, the Brookings Institute came out with, you know, where poverty was doubling or tripling within the suburbs and was actually stable or decreasing in the urban areas. As our families were looking for safer environments, better schools, better housing coming out into the suburbs, we serve 13 counties. So we make a great big C around the city of Chicago. Our sister food bank, Greater Chicago Food Depository, covers Cook County. So we're in Lake County, we go all the way down into Will County, we go south to Kankakee, and then we're gonna curve to the northwest, and we're gonna go past Grundy, DeKalb, Ogle, all the way out to Stevenson. We go about 90% across the state. There is no higher need in terms of quantity of missed meals and quantity of people that are hungry than right here in DuPage County.
And one of the things that I would also encourage you,
Marilyn's pointing at me.
Because I think a lot of times we have this image.
Yeah.
We have this image in our head of what a food pantry is. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you go to one. Mm-hmm. Go visit one. Because what you'll find is it looks a lot like the Jewel.
Yeah, right. Please give us, if you are interested in coming out and seeing our network, we have an unbelievable network. I spent this afternoon, I was down in Joliet at St. John Lutheran Church. They are serving 30,000 people every year, providing really wonderful food for them. Mm-hmm. And these are amazing, amazing organizations. But the reality of hunger is right here. It is right here in our communities. And what we know about the families that we are serving, particularly in the suburbs, is, as I mentioned before, these are the working poor. So 77% of our families are working, but only 15% of those families are working full-time year-round jobs. So they are trying to piece together their resources to live in these areas that are relatively high cost of living, but provide them with these great benefits. So hunger is very real. Over 800 feeding sites across our 13 counties. We invite you to get involved. Don't just come and visit. Don't just come and visit. Come and get involved. There are so many wonderful things that you can do. Hunger is a very solvable issue. Do we have enough food in America to feed everyone? We absolutely do. We are wasting billions and billions of pounds of food a year. Our whole business is, let's take that food that the store is no longer going to sell, that the manufacturer isn't going to distribute, and let's turn that waste problem into a solution for our hungry neighbors. It just takes coming out and volunteering with our organizations, coming out and volunteering at the food bank, choosing to invest in the business. Over 60% of our income is given to us to make our work happen, or just raising awareness of hunger, knowing that hunger is right here, that our kids are suffering and need our help.
I have a question over here.
Yeah, my name's Frank Brow. One thing I wanted to correct first, our debt is $13.7 billion as of the other day when I was on the comptroller's website. I'm a controller for a nonprofit in Chicago. Our monies, while they're not in the vein of Mr. Dillard's, we are owed $350,000 from the state to support our operation in the Sheridan Correctional Facility. We do job training for people there, and we have an 80% track record of getting guys jobs that are coming out and not going back to the hood, not going into drugs or anything else. And that's what we're all about, but the state has, you know, basically put a stranglehold on us because as a nonprofit, banks laugh at you when you go to get borrow monies or whatever. So we've had to use other alternative sources where the interest rates are phenomenal, to say the least. And we paid over $700,000 last year in interest rates just to fund our operation going forward. And it's just a bad cycle.
Let me ask you this question. I'm sorry, your name was?
Frank.
Frank, what would you do if you had that $350,000?
Pay off the people that we're borrowing the money from, number one, so that we didn't have to pay interest rates. But, you know, one other quick correction is the 13.7 is the known debt that the comptroller shows. There's a huge amount of unknown debt.
Absolutely.
That is the 1% carry cost that the state has to pay to, you know, companies like mine, not to Mr. Dillard's, but to companies like mine that is mandated through the laws of the state that say 1% over 90 days has to be paid. And the state's not accruing that like a normal business would to pay that back either. So it's horrendous right now what's going on, and kind of a joke as far as the public being told the truth of how bad we are right now.
You know, I would share with you, my dad used to say this to me when I would say, well, it's only $100. And he would say to me, you know, if there was $100 on the sidewalk, you'd bend over and pick it up, wouldn't you? And I'd say, yeah, I've bend over and pick it up. And the reason I say that is you may only be owed $350,000. But if there was $350,000 sitting on the sidewalk, you'd bend over and pick it up.
Absolutely.
but also, that $350,000 that if you got it tomorrow would pay back just the loans. But again, that hidden cost of all of those young people, the clients that you're Absolutely. Working with, who are not now able to perhaps go through this program mm-hmm. to get those jobs, What's going to happen to them? They're going to go back on the streets. They're going to be possibly incarcerated. That's going to cost the state triple, quadruple what you're owed.
Right.
And again, it comes back to it's a false economy. This is not getting us anywhere, and we have to rethink, because that's a prime example. And what you're experiencing is being experienced up and down the state, right the way through, every single day, with literally hundreds and hundreds of organizations.
And I don't want to, the $13.7 billion is just the operating deficit. We haven't even talked about the big one. Mm-hmm. Don't go running for the doors. But that's the $100+ billion of pension liability, which is now, in just our in terms of our operating budget, mm-hmm. is $6 or $7 billion of the state's regular annual budget goes to pay these retirement payments. Wow, could that really be used for their programs or elementary and secondary education or this young lady's higher education? So, you know, the pension, you know, you can have one of these forms on that all by itself.
What kind of insinuating is that our news media in total needs to start really getting the truth of what is going on with our state, how bad off we are, and wake up some of the people in this state that, you know, say, oh, it's not affecting me. It affects everybody in this state.
I feel like I need to come to the defense of my colleagues and myself and only say this, we're trying. This, I will tell you, I have covered in my career countless very complicated stories. Mm-hmm. This one is crazy complicated. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time that we have to tell you is the same or smaller. And so we're trying. But it's crazy complicated. You know, this thing with the taxes, the revenue. Mm-hmm. That's something I want to be able to explain that story, and I sometimes sit in my office and think to myself, how can I tell that succinctly? And I struggle with it because it's just complicated, and there may not be a succinct story, but we do need to try better. And a question over here.
Yeah. Hi. My name's Keith, and first I'd like to say thanks for everyone coming out and being here. Illinois truly is a great state. Beautiful. We all like it here. You know, it's going to take real bipartisan effort from not only all of us individuals, but from our quote-unquote elected officials and the big two that sit up top. Just some interesting facts. Illinois is the fifth wealthiest state in the United States of America. Illinois is the third lowest, receives the third lowest amount of federal grants per federal tax dollar that we pay. Illinois ranks number four in the lowest amount received in federal financial assistance per federal dollar that we pay, meaning we get a bad rate of return on our federal tax dollars. If you look, we're known as a blue state, right? You look at some of the red states. Let's look at Tennessee. Tennessee just passed free public higher order tuition for the millennials, for the kids, for seniors, for whoever would like to go to school. Because as they said up front, education pays. Education returns 4 to 7 times every dollar that's spent on it. Education grows your communities. Per the pension problem, yes, it's a problem, and it's a bipartisan problem that both the Dems and Republicans and Dems have had their fair share and hand in partaking. We can look here at the DuPage County Board, the Republican one right now. You can look in the Daily Herald and find the pension loophole. They give them out like hotcakes. You can work part-time, get three pensions. I'm sure both sides have their fair share. Illinois has the highest amount of units of government out of any state in the United States. Town, it's 7,000 units. It's a lot. I'm originally from Colorado. We only have county township, county government out there. It's very confusing. I'm sure the town, I'm sure they each do wonderful things. However, it's very confusing when you live in one area, you gotta go to another area, only realize you're not the right area. again. There is now a resolution that counties can dissolve their townships so long as there is a local municipality that holds center and holds responsibility. So that's congratulations to actually both sides working together to achieve fair balance. The state debt, a big problem. Again, a bipartisan problem. You can look at the state, you can look at the CPS. Both the governor and the mayor were advised by their financial advisors to join class action lawsuits.
Keith, do you have a question that you're getting to?
My question is, we're talking about all the stuff and complexities here. The chilling effects of a property tax freeze that lowers your market value of your house. The milk and egg tax that's been countered as a response to Rauner's austerity diet, taxing people's milk, eggs, and medicine surely is going to just increase the gap. We do look to find other answers. There are other answers. There are other ways. We can look to the states of North Dakota that has a state bank. We can look at the Fair Economy Coalition of Illinois that does present a budget that balances its net even.
I think one of the things that you're going to see, to touch on some of these things you're bringing up, one of the things that we're going to see, whether we like it or not, is we're going to have to explore some revenue. We're going to have to look at some places that we haven't looked before. And in the past, the place to look before has been sin tax. We'll just add some tax on tobacco. We'll add some tax on alcohol. I'm not sure that well hasn't been played out. The other well that... Kirk, you could probably speak to this as well as I can. It seems like it's not the end of a legislative session until someone starts talking about gambling. And now there is a proposal to expand casinos in Illinois. I don't know that that's going to bring a whole lot of new money or if it's just going to cut the pot up smaller and smaller. But the reality is Illinois is going to have to look to some revenue sources, whether it's retiree income,
yep,
or taxing services. This is not a problem. Kirk, you were telling me before we got started about the Civic Federation proposal, and that proposal very clearly states that this is not a problem we're going to be able to cut our way out of or tax our way out.
Yeah. Yeah, the Civic Federation of the commercial club.
We talk about all the service tax, but how about progressive income?
The city club of the commercial club, all of the major business leaders of Chicago did embrace an increase in taxes. They're the employers this week. They said you have to cut a couple of billion as well. But when you're looking at getting the kinds of revenue that the state needs, there's really only two places you can get it. The income tax, which is clearly the fairest tax, I believe. Property tax, probably the most unfair, but the income tax being the most fair. And then sales taxes. And Illinois has a very narrow sales tax base. So I think you expand your sales tax base. The Civic Federation said to do an income tax increase. I'd sunset it sometime in the future. I know Governor Rauner wants to layer property taxes over, probably for the same number of years, property tax mm-hmm. freeze for the same number of years that the income tax would be extended. But when you're looking, you know, at, and no pun intended, at nickel and dime kinds of ways to raise revenue, it's the income tax and the sales tax that are going to be the ones that are going to give you 90% of the pie. And you've got to look at those two. You got to broaden out your sales tax in this state. Most of the states around this tax far more services than Illinois does. And Illinois, while I would keep our income tax under 5%, is generally among states that do have an income tax. It's flat, as this gentleman pointed out, but it is less than some of our neighboring states like Wisconsin. So income tax and sales tax define the kinds of money, but you've got to make cuts and you've got to make structural changes in your budget. And then one other thing we haven't talked about tonight, I've always believed, having once been a chief of staff to a governor, we need to do what Texas has done, and that's have a wholesale assault on Medicaid fraud and abuse. Not for people who need it or deserve it, but those who abuse it. And in Texas, they saved well over $1 billion. And I think you can find at least several hundred million in Medicaid fraud and abuse in a state like Illinois. In fact, Newt Gingrich, who's back in the limelight under President Trump, used to laugh and say, you know, he believed $1 in $10 in Medicaid was fraud, and then he would snicker and say, and you could imagine what it would be like a place like Chicago. Medicaid fraud and abuse ought to be on the table as well.
So one last thing, thank you. One last thing, going back to SNAP and SNAP recipients. The single largest group of recipients of SNAP isn't lazy people. It's single, hardworking, moms, mm-hmm. single moms, SNAP recipients, mm-hmm. hardworking. You know, we all deserve, we all like Henry Ford, right? Great capitalist, right? You know what he did back then? He raised the wage. You know why? So people could actually buy his cars. Mm-hmm. It's a funny phenomenon that when we pay people a living wage, you don't have to pay them welfare.
Thank you for your kind words on SNAP. I appreciate that.
Yeah. We all rise.
Yeah. I appreciate so many of our children are benefits of food stamps and SNAP, and it's important for them. It is a, we believe very much in the private response to hunger, as I've mentioned, but we also ask our legislators to drive the public response as much as they're able, and SNAP is a great defense against hunger. And it's an efficient program, it's an effective program, and we believe wholeheartedly that working together with our food pantries is how we can really provide our families with their nutrition and the relief that they need so that they can go to bed with full bellies. We're all about full bellies, and so many of our families really rely on those benefits, and we are hoping that they will continue at their current levels in the coming years.
I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I would like to thank the panel. Angela, did you want to?
No.
Oh, okay. Angela Adkins with NAMI DuPage, Kirk Dillard, the chairman of the RTA board, and Julie Yurko from Northern Illinois Food Bank. Mm-hmm. And thank them for joining us this evening. And finally, I would encourage you to continue having this discussion. Have this discussion with your neighbors. Have this discussion with your coworkers. Have this discussion with your lawmakers. Because if the discussion stops tonight, that discussion that I had this morning at the radio station with a coworker who said, I don't really think it's affecting me, it will keep happening. So continue having this discussion. Thanks for coming out.
We'll get to him someday. So Patty Bellock was my office mate. So she was.